Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is elite ultramarathon runner Rob Pope, who in 2016 embarked on an enormous journey running across the United States and beyond to raise funds and awareness for causes he believes in. He ended up running across the nation five times, covering over 15,700 miles and resulting in several records. He's been with us on the show a few times talking about this. He told his story in his book, Becoming Forest, which was released last year. But I read an article recently about his latest adventure and thought we have to get him back on to talk about it. He ran the width of Ireland in less than 24 hours, seemingly becoming the first person to accomplish the feat. He ran from Galway City on Ireland's west coast to the capital Dublin in just 23 hours and 39 minutes. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing good. But interestingly, I've actually got a bad knee at the moment, but it's got nothing to do with Ireland. I actually twisted it getting out of the car about 2 weeks before Ireland, and decided not to go away.
Oh, no. So you had to do this run with a bad knee?
Yeah, but it didn't seem to bother me at the time. And to be honest, it didn't even bother me afterwards, like apart from the fact that it's just at this low level. But yeah, I did a fell race a couple of weeks ago, and that really annoyed it, and it's been letting me know ever since.
Oh, dear. I mean, people might say maybe it's your body telling you to stop running or slow down a bit. What do you think of that?
I think it's my body telling me that I shouldn't be driving everywhere. You know, I've got to get out of my car. If I'd actually run somewhere, it probably wouldn't have happened.
Brilliant. Like it. So how did this come about then, this latest one running across Ireland? What made you decide to do that?
So sort of one of the main reasons was that I was starting to get a little bit sort of sick with this sort of attitude sort of that you see on social media, that, you know, either everything's perfect or everything's the worst. You know, there's no middle ground anymore, and I think it makes people either frustrated or angry, or, you know, maybe even like feelings that their life isn't as good as other people's. And so I thought, I'm going to do something that I think that I will really struggle to do, and if I if I don't succeed, then I'm going to embrace that with the whole, well, I tried really hard, and sort of, you know, I got to the start line, which, to be honest, is more than where most people get to, and the biggest achievement of all. And so I'd never run a 24-hour period before, I guess I still haven't really, seeing it was 23 hours 39, but, you know, I'd certainly never run over 100 miles. The most I'd ever done, I think, was like 75 in a day. And so I just figured that I would put myself, you know, sort of out there to be shot at, you know, and I looked at a cool course, because I've never really been one for, you know, sort of, you know, races or anything like that. And so I thought, where's a good length that I could do? And I saw that the length of Ireland, or the width of Ireland even, was, 135 miles. And I thought, well, that's the absolute limit of what I can attempt. And so gave it a go.
So, well, I understand you didn't actually do that much training for it.
No, like, sort of, to be honest, I've got like a little one now, and it's not, you know, to be honest, if I was super, super, I'm not one of these people who's like sort of completely obsessed with running. I like running, and like at the moment I'm feeling not being able to run, but you know, sort of, I sort of feel guilty when I'm out training, because it's time I could be spending with my little one, you know, sort of, or doing bits and bobs around the house. And so I was doing like a healthy enough mileage for someone who likes to run, you know, so like 30, 40 miles a week. But I didn't really do much in the way of training. But if I did one 48-mile training run, most of a few weeks before, just mostly to try out sort of my new shoes and some nutrition things I was going to take along the way. And that went okay, but I wanted it to be a challenge. Like, to be honest, you know, if I'd have set my goal for 135 miles and done a really great training block that set me up for 135 miles and coasted it, it wouldn't have been the same. You know, I would have actually regretted that and maybe sort of decided to run a little bit extra. Maybe I'd have turned around and gone back.
But I mean, the idea of running 48 miles in training, I mean, most people are going, what? How on earth can you run 48 miles and that's only part of training? I mean, that's a long way in itself. I mean, when you're running, what goes on with your, both in your head and also in your body? I mean, do you feel any pain in your feet or in your back or in your knees when you're running?
Yeah, well, sort of, I did sort of, like, the worst thing about this run was about 13 miles in or 2 hours in, sort of, I got, like, a really intense nausea that just, I've never had that really when I've been running, and that lasted me for a good, you know, sort of, like, 3 or 4 hours, and even after that, I was struggling to eat properly, so that wasn't pleasant. Later on, I developed a pain in the left side of my foot, which actually did turn out to be a stress fracture, and that is actually sort of a... turning out, you know, to, well, it's, that's getting there now with the enforced rest because of the knee, so, you know, maybe that's a blessing in disguise. But the whole thing about running that kind of distance is you have to keep your heart rate sort of low, and if you're out of breath when you're running, there's absolutely no way that you're going to finish that kind of distance because you just can't fuel. You can't get enough calories in, you know, for that amount of expenditure. So, you know, towards the end, actually, my heart rate was steadily creeping up to about 150, but then just seemed to drop to 120, probably as I did some sort of internal fuel switch, and stuck at 120 for the whole way. So towards the end, it was more just the fatigue of having been awake for the best part of 36 hours, you know, sort of, and being like, sort of, you know, feeling pretty weak because of, you know, the calorie deficit. You know, even still, you can't fuel yourself properly. And so you're kind of running on vapors for a large part of it.
So how do you keep the heart rate down? I mean, most people will know when they're doing running or any kind of cardio, depending on how fit you are and how used you are to doing that kind of exercise. It doesn't take long for you to be slightly out of breath and for your heart rate to be going quicker.
Yeah, it's basically sort of running slower. I've always been a big advocate because a lot of people, like, sort of, you know, like, I'll have people talk to me about running and they're like, oh, I do a bit of running. I would love to do a bit of running, but I'm nothing like you, you know, and sort of I'm really rubbish at it. Now, I'm a big advocate for people doing walking, you know, so people see walking as some sort of failure when it comes to running. It's anything but the sort. If you can run and get tired and you're thinking, I'm really tired, well, why don't you just walk until you're less tired and you can run again? You know, you're still going to be getting those aerobic benefits. No shame in walking. The very, very best ultramarathon runners, like, sort of will, you know, sort of walk parts in a race, especially on hills. You know, and like in this, I actually sort of broke my runs down. Yeah, I'd run for about 4 miles and then walk for about 5 minutes, and it would give me an opportunity to eat. But to be honest, like, sort of, a lot of that heart rate sort of was low because once you get to a certain point and you've used up all your muscle glycogen and you're like burning sort of fat and anything else you throw in, your heart physically can't get up that high. It just doesn't have the energy. And so it's not a state that many people will get into. But you know, sort of, if you are doing normal running of, like, sort of, you know, your typical training distances, like, the very best, like, sort of, even Olympic marathoners will do a lot of their training in what they call zone 2, which is probably up to about sort of 60% of your maximum heart rate, because it's all about just sort of getting the legs turning over. You know, if you're staying up and your heart is pounding and you're doing the bulk of your training at that level, you are going to get injured unless you're something pretty special.
And the amount, when you're doing these things, it's lovely when members of the public really kind of get behind what you're doing and come out and find you and bring you bananas and things. And you had that this time, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So a chap called Liam showed up because I started at 10 p.m. at night. And this chap showed up. He'd read Becoming Forest and sort of, and he knew he'd followed me on social, and he knew I was going to be in the area. And he drove like 40 minutes before his son's Gaelic football practice to come. And he opened his car boot up, and it had like everything. I said, like, sort of, you know, drinks like water, fizzy sports drinks, sweets, chocolate, you know, sort of croissant. And I just looked through, and everything there just turned my stomach. And apart from, I just saw this bunch of bananas, and I said, mate, can I have that? And he said, listen, everything in the boot, you can have whatever you want. And so I had these bananas, and they were literally just as if my body just went, that's right. I was like, you know when you're looking through your keys in the dark and you just end up trying different ones in the lock, you know, and that banana was the key to my lock. And so he joined me for a bit, you know, so I had another chap join me on a bike for a section on the outskirts of Dublin. And then a final chap turned up with 10 miles to go, and he ran those last 10 miles with me. And I had to sort of have a word with him because he was a bundle of enthusiasm and asking me lots of questions. And I was just like, mate, I just can't concentrate right now. And finally I just said to him, oh, mate, by me having to concentrate, I said, I just have to ask you to be quiet. I said, if I need you, I'll drop back into the conversation. And eventually, as I was getting closer to, you know, we got chattier as I realised that sort of the end was in fact nigh. And yeah, and all those people, including my four support crew, sort of who accompanied me, sort of, you know, at least two of them all of the way, I couldn't have done it without them.
Oh, wonderful stuff. So what is next for you then?
Seeing a physio.
Yes, good answer.
I've always got loads of ideas. I'd love to do something in Spain. I really would. Spain's like sort of, you know, my three favourite countries in the world are sort of Spain, Australia and Britain. And I'd love to do something in Spain and Australia. Yeah, America's obviously a new entry after having spent so much time over there as well. But I feel I've done America quite a lot. And something in Spain and Australia would be fantastic. Spain to Australia, perhaps?
Yeah, that would be good. That would be very clever. Brilliant. Well, I have to tell you, I often have the pleasure of interviewing people who I find really inspiring. But I'll be honest, and I'll say very rarely do I do anything about it. I'm just kind of inspired at the point of chatting to someone, and then I kind of get on with my everyday life. But when I spoke to you last year about your book, I thought, I could do this. I should do this. So I signed up for the, having not done running before, I'd done a 10K run about 6 years ago and that was it. I signed up for the half marathon in Malaga, which I did last December. And I've also signed up for it again this year.
Absolute legend. Well done.
And that was because of you.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. But it's like any little changes that, you know, anybody can make to anyone's lives to the better, you know. That's always a source of pride. And that's sort of the good thing, sort of, you know, about the run and obviously subsequently the book. And by the way, obviously holiday reading, it's a bit unwieldy having a hardback by the pool, but the paperback comes out on the 29th of September if people are interested.
Brilliant.
Hopefully they'll find some inspiration in that, you know, and, you know, around them. And do something special just like you did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something to really, really be proud of, isn't it? When you really take yourself, I hate the phrase taking yourself out of your comfort zone, but it really is that, you know, if you're not used to doing it. And I took your advice of you not having to worry about speed, because I really was not fast at all, but I still did it.
That's brilliant. I think the perfect level of challenge is one that just by the end you're saying to yourself, I am never, ever going to do this again. But maybe a week later you're starting to thumb through listings and go, I might just do it one more time. Then you know you've pitched it back.
That's exactly what happened, yes. When I finished, I was like, never, never, never. took me a few months to consider doing it again. But yes, here we are again. So there we go. Well, if people want to get a copy of Becoming Forest, it's a great book, and as you say, it's coming out in paperback in a couple of weeks' time. And we love what you do, Rob. I think you're a huge inspiration to us all, and I look forward to seeing what you do next and having another chat with you.
Fantastic.
Look after your knee.
I'll try.
Take care. Bye-bye.